Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jesse Duplantis.
And I'm Kathy Duplantis.
Thank you for tuning in today once again to our boardroom chat. I believe we're going to have a good time around the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, I hope you encourage your friends to watch our boardroom chats. In fact, all our things that are on those on all the different platforms that we use. And it's just such a blessing of the Lord to come into your home, if you're watching in your home or wherever you are, on your telephone somewhere, whatever. And I really believe God will bless you and minister greatly to you. You know, last week, Kathy dedicated our church, had an anniversary once again of 28 years of Covenant Church, and it was just such a blessing of the Lord. And I was thinking about that this morning. And you know, we had a tragedy happen a few weeks back, and a man was assassinated because of his beliefs and things of that nature. And but he said something that I thought about this morning, and I want to continue in this. He said, find a Bible-believing church, and that's what you should do. Because let me tell you something, the church is a phenomenal thing, and we're going to talk about the church today. Find a Bible-believing ministry. Like if you're giving seed, always give into a Bible-believing ministry. And what I mean by that, the only way you're going to know that is if you study the Word of God to show yourself approved unto God. A worker need not be ashamed, but rightly divide the word of truth.
That's good.
You see what I'm saying? And that's what I mean. And without sounding arrogant or prideful, Jesse Duplantis Ministry is a Bible-believing ministry. That's why we get persecuted. People come against us. That's why Charlie Kirk got persecuted, because he believed in the Bible and put the Bible first, and then the family. And of course, naturally, your government where you are. So you'll be blessed. I want to read a scripture. It's very simple. Matthew chapter 16, and it's verse 18. I'm going to read out the King James Version. Jesus is here talking to Peter here, and it's an amazing thing. Well, let me read verse 17 first. And he said, Jesus answered, said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, what he was talking about, because it was Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, verse 18, I love, and I will say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. I will build my church. So he still continued to doing it. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, no matter what happens. I want to talk about the church in its essence, and what does it mean? Why you should be a part of a church? Well, first thing first, a church is a society. Now, if you want to take a point down, the church is a divine society of which Christ himself is the master builder. Not the pastor, not the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. We are gifts to the church, see? But Jesus Christ is the master builder. And you know, a lot of times people walk away from church because a lot of churches are not feeding people. A church is a school where you learn. Learn what? The things and the ways of God, spiritually, physically, and financially. And I hate to say this, but most churches don't really teach the whole counsel of God. But Covenant Church does, Jesse Duplantis Ministry does. Not that we're better, we just like doing it. We believe that every page in the Bible that was written is for all of us, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that's why we believe in speaking in tongues. That's why we believe that we're Pentecostals. Now I don't try to get involved with people's personal convictions, but in any way, shape, or form, but that's not the Bible. That's God speaking to them to do something, and evidently he sees something in them that they should do, and he'll give that personal conviction. But when you understand the doctrine of the gospel, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So you got to understand the reason why the church is what it is because God is a giver. Mm-hmm. And the church should be giving greatly. Now, when they think of that, they just think of taking care of the poor and things of that nature. And you need to do that. Don't misunderstand me. But it's to give the gospel in its full entirety, not watered down in any way, shape, or form. What do you think about that, Kathy?
I love that. It's so true because, you know, Jesus is the head of the church. And
that's
people
right.
want to criticize the church, but I don't like it when people criticize you. I know you don't like it when people criticize me.
I don't like you when you criticize me, neither.
you call just, it criticism, but it's a suggestion.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have to make a confession. I take correction very well, but not from Kathy. I ain't going to lie. Lord,
you got to think about that.
I got to think about that for a while. But go ahead. Keep talking. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Oh, really?
Oh, really? I'm going to have a swallow
well,
of water.
Jesus you know, I love this whole passage of scripture because Jesus was sitting there with his disciples and he's looking out over things there at Caesarea Philippi, and he asked them, who do men say that I am? And that was a question he asked them. And so they started telling him who the people thought Jesus was.
Jeremiah, Elias, and all that kind of stuff.
Different ones, or John the Baptist. He says, and then he said, well, who do you say that I am? And that's a question we all have to answer for ourselves. We have to recognize. And then Peter spoke up, who said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
And so that is his confession, and that is the bedrock of the church. Who you believe Jesus is foundational to everything. And when you believe that he is the Son of the living God, you know that he came to the earth, God does exist, and that when we believe in him, it changes everything.
Amen.
And that was the assignment, really, of the church, is to continue to give the message that Jesus had. He commissioned his church to go into all the world, preach the gospel. What's the gospel? It's good news that
Amen.
God came to the earth in the form of a baby, lived a sinless life, died on the cross for the sins of the world, and rose again, and he's coming back. That's wonderful good news.
Right. The whole key to this thing is you got to understand something about the church. It's not the building that you enter into. The church is you. But yet we have tabernacles and temples, and we should go to that. Don't misunderstand me. So not only must the church have a message, but they ought to have a messenger. Mm-hmm. You see, and a lot of people, they may have a messenger, but they don't have a message. And the church will produce a message to go in the world and preach the gospel to every creature. People ask me that all the time. Do you think you'll ever retire? I don't think so, because the world is not saved yet. Matthew 24 says, when this gospel is preached to the world, for witness to all nations. They said they have to receive it, said they have to witness it. The Bible said the end shall come. And that's simply the truth. Jesus is coming back whether people believe it or not. I've had some people say, I don't believe that. That don't matter whether you believe it or not. That don't change it. It's still the truth. So the Bible-believing church that you should go to has to have a message and a messenger. See, so you can go forth and do this, because the church is God's special property. It's the gift of the Father, actually. And I love what it says, and the object of his tenderest love. He said, the gates of hell are not prevailed against the church. Mm. Now, if we're the body and the bride of Christ and we are that church, then the gates of hell not prevail against us. But we're constantly building it with a message and as a messenger. That's why we're on these boardroom chats. We are a messenger. We ask people to connect with us and believe with us, pray for us, donate to this ministry. It doesn't come to us. It goes to the church, to the organization, see, so we can reach more people, change more lives, one soul at a time. So when you understand that it's a divine society, you're actually a link in a big chain. See, all of us, whether you're denominational, non-denominational, denominational, interdenominational, whatever that may be, if you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and repent of your sin, the Bible said you're born again. Mm-hmm. You know, let's just face it. Sometimes we don't feel born again. Sometimes we don't feel like it, but we're not moved by what we feel. We're moved by what we believe. But there are a lot of churches not preaching something that people can believe. Mm-hmm. They're preaching works and things of that nature when you've been saved by grace. But I'm going to make this announcement, and it'll shock some of these people. I don't live by grace. I live by faith, you see, because it takes faith to believe in grace.
True.
And without you living by faith, I want to tell you something. God has forgiven you past, present, and future, but you got to have faith in that to exercise that so you can work every day and walk every day in life so God will minister greatly to you.
And a lot of people don't understand the word faith. They call the faith, meaning the Bible or my religion. But when we're talking about faith, the word faith in the Bible is really a power. It's faith in what God has said. It's believing the word of God.
Well, you got to understand, the church is a revelation from God and a revelation of God. Mm-hmm. See, when you look at the church, it's a revelation from God, but it's also a revelation of God.
And you know, Jesse, when Jesus asked Peter that question, Peter didn't realize that he heard the Father. You know, a lot of
That's
times
right.
When he asked him that question, he said something, and I love what it says. And I'm going to read this, verse 17 in the Passion Translation. Jesus, after Peter had said, you are the Son of the living God.
Right.
Passion Translation says, Jesus replied, you are favored and privileged, Simon, son of Jonah, for you didn't discover this on your own, but my Father in heaven has supernaturally revealed it to you.
Hallelujah.
I love that.
Yeah. Because
God supernaturally revealed that to Peter, that about who Jesus was. And we have to discover who Jesus is. The Holy Spirit is the only one who could really help us to know that in its fullness.
You use the word supernatural. Actually, when you get born again, God supernaturally revealed himself to you. It's just the same word.
Yeah, and then,
supernaturally.
Yeah, and then he goes on to say in verse 18, I give you the name of Peter, a stone, and this truth of who I am will be the bedrock foundation on which I will build my church, my legislative assembly, and the power of death will not be able to overpower it. I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven's kingdom realm, to forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven and to release on earth that which is released in heaven. That is supernatural power.
And yet those scriptures have, they have fought over that for centuries because they were trying to think, you know, that God was building his church on the revelation of Peter, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then they got some people say that, and they used this and acted out, that when Jesus was saying, he said, thou art Peter, pointing to Peter, and upon this rock, he points to himself, I will build my church and the gates of hell and
I believe that. Some people that think that was built on Peter, so he's like the foundation. No, Peter wasn't strong enough to be the foundation.
Jesus is the chief
cornerstone. The Word of God and Jesus Christ is the foundation.
But Peter was pretty strong. I mean, he was strong, but I mean, you know, yeah, but I mean, God builds everything upon himself. My point is this, this church is a revelation from God and a revelation of God. See, the church is built upon people who hear, who bear witness for Christ. It's not a building, but a living entity. You see what I'm saying? In other words, it's just as important, if not more important, than your family. Because a church really is a family. It's a covenant family coming together to honor God and who God is in every which way, shape, or form. That's why we believe in church. I appreciate Charlie Kirk saying that. Find a Bible, believe in church. And his wife now, who's taken over that organization, saying
the
same thing.
I love the fact that he said that he was born again when he was in the fifth grade.
In the fifth grade.
That is so significant. That's why children's church is so important. That's why it's so important to bring your kids with you to church, to have them see you serving the Lord. I'm sure he had a godly family.
Amen.
That probably brought him to church. I don't know a lot about his family,
right,
but I know they're probably still hurting at this time. We need to continue to pray and lift up the whole Charlie Kirk family, and we do.
Sure.
But
Amen.
You know, this is what's key. This is what changed his life. And this one life has affected the world. Think about it. Because
Amen.
His life was transformed by Jesus Christ at an early age,
that's right,
then he continued to develop and grow, of course, but here his life has affected so many people and still affecting even after his death, after his cruel death.
Well, you think about a fifth grade. Let me tell you something about children. They get a witness of Jesus. They get a revelation of Christ. And you as a parent should honor that when they come to you about that. You see, I think the earliest a person, and now I'm talking 50, 60 years ago, there was a girl, like people said, when did you get saved? Well, I got saved when I was like 24 and a half. But there was a girl that I knew many, many, many years ago. She got saved when she was 3 and remembered it. And she's older than I am. I think we're either the same age or she maybe a couple years older than I am. So even children at 3 years old can get a revelation from God and a revelation of God of being born again. That supernatural revealing, that's what, it's the body of Christ, the body and the bride of Christ. Think about that, man. That's a very close relationship with God.
And
Almighty.
Every child is different, you know.
Sure.
Children come to the age of accountability or that point where they can make that commitment at different ages and on their level. And they, in fact, I was talking to our care pastor just recently, yesterday, and she was talking about how their grandchild who is like maybe 4 or 5, really wanted to make sure that he could go to heaven when Jesus comes and had prayed the prayer, but he wanted his mother to help him pray that prayer again. It was a serious thing to this child, and I thought it was so precious and how kids can really grab hold of the truth of that.
Amen, because that's purity at its best, children, and innocence at its best. It's a blessing, so you should listen to them. What is the church? Who designed it? God. For who? To bring people to God. To God. See, that's why I have not lost my passion for being saved. And I don't mean this in a cocky way or put down way. I don't need revival. I believe in revival. I preach revival. I cause revival. But revival for me, I haven't needed it because I've always stayed vived. And so I didn't need to be revived. You see, now how do you do that? By staying in the Word of God and believing the Word of God. That doesn't mean the devil didn't come against me. There's been some things in life I'm going to be honest, I don't understand why things happened the way that did and blah, blah. But you know, we'll all know that when we get to heaven, and that's fine. But there's nothing that in the world that I've seen after I was born again that I want more than this Bible, more than this church, more than my inner witness of Christ, the hope of glory. Because you see, the church will never become extinct. So many people tried to make it extinct. See, the statement, I will build my church, is about the future. I will build my church. It's about the future. And let me tell you something. The church has survived all its enemies and all its heroes. You think about that, because it is founded upon Christ, the chief cornerstone, which Peter was a very important part of that.
Yes.
Paul the Apostle, all of it. And I'm going to say something. I'm a very important part of the church. Amen. You are a very important part of the church. Look at me when I talk to you. You are a very important part of the church. You know, we blocks put together so that people might see Christ, the hope of glory, living inside each and every one of us. Now, you think about this. You know, you use the Passion Translate and you use the word legislate.
Yeah.
Legislate. See, if our Congress would legislate like the church should legislate, some churches don't, but the way the Bible says to legislate, you wouldn't have all this junk going on. You wouldn't have crime. People say, well, God's in control here. No, no. He is not in control of the earth. Do you understand? Listen to me. I'm giving you a revelation. He is not in control here. We are. Mankind is. If he was in control, there'd be no murder. There'd be no rape. There'd be no hatred. There would be no sin, none whatsoever. Now, if you want to go where he's in control, go to heaven. Guess what you're going to find? You're not going to find murder, rape, hatred, malice, any of that, because God is in total control. So man's lease, God gave man a lease on the earth. And he told him to be fruitful, multiply, replenish, and subdue. That's a lease. But that lease is about ready to run out. And then God's coming back. I'm telling you, and there's a 1,000-year millennial kingdom. Some people believe that we're in it. No, we're not in it, because Jesus is not here to rule and reign. You understand? You see what I'm saying? I can't emphasize this enough. God is not in control here. People say, why did God let that happen? He didn't let it happen. We did. I'm talking about tragedies. I'm talking about hurricanes and things. When you got the power to shut that down, how do you know? Jesus said, go do the work I do and greater than this. Didn't he shut down a storm on the Sea of Galilee? Mm-hmm. Well, if he can shut down then, you ought to be able to shut down a hurricane in the Gulf of Mexico. But the Gulf of America, however you want to call it, or Atlantic or Pacific, whatever it is. But here's the reason why a lot of these things come at us. Because you see, we're supposed to be one body made up of many members. The problem is you got one member saying this and one member saying that. You got one member believing in healing strong, and you got another member not believing in healing at all. But it's still the same body. So what happens is you fight, and in the midst of all that fighting, something comes in like a hurricane. Something comes in. But I would tell everybody that lives on the Atlantic coast, on the Gulf coast, the Pacific coast, and wherever, to cover what you have, spiritually, any physically, financially, or any coast, by drawing the bloodline. You draw the bloodline. You see what I'm saying? Now, if the whole nation does that, well, then everybody is protected, because that word of God will not return void. But you see, you got some people believing one way, some people believing the other way. One of the craziest things I've ever seen in my life is something we call church splits. Now, what is that for? Because you got mad at somebody, you know, or maybe they said something you didn't like. You know, you won't be able to do that in heaven. And the church on the earth, let me make this announcement, is just as safe as the church in heaven. But why would you want to split? Why? Well, you know, what you do is come together and fix the stuff that needs fixing. You see what I'm saying? Just need the stuff that needs fixing. And that's why they cut cancer out. They cut it out, or they'll give you some. They're trying to fix the thing that needs fixing without killing the body. Do you see what I'm saying? It's the same way with the body of Christ. So when you understand, in spite of all persecution and imperfection, it will always be a continuous operation. this church. So when, you know, when you preach the sermon, I think it was last Sunday, it was a blessing of the Lord to hear it.
I talked about the power of the covenant.
Yeah. I mean, we, okay.
Because our church is named Covenant Church, and
right.
it was our 28th anniversary, and the Lord gave, and actually,
how long have you been pastoring the church?
8 years now.
8 years?
Since 2017.
I thought you did more than that. 17? No, it's more than 8 years then, huh? 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. Yeah, 8 years. I got to count on my fingers sometime.
Praise. You just need to trust me.
Yeah, it was such a blessing, and the church is doing fine. Does it have problems? Well, certainly it does. Why? Because the devil's trying to shut it down. That's why you see all this evil. But greater is he was in us than he was in the world. And if God be for me, who could be against me? I'm more than a conqueror. I say to that mountain, be thou removed. You know what I'm saying? The church is talking right here. Where'd you learn that? Church. That's Bible-believing church. God said, be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, blessed going out. Where'd you learn that? The church. You see what I'm saying? The word blessed, empowered to prosper spiritually, physically, financially, in every area of his life. It's amazing, like, if a church picks up an offering, people want to criticize it. I pick up an offering. But, I mean, other people are receiving, I mean, especially political people, they're constantly asking you for money because
they're
it takes money to run
of
a campaign.
They call it a fundraiser.
Yeah.
And they hire professional fundraisers that do that.
Yeah.
You know why they think it's okay? Because they believe in their cause. They have value to their cause. Well, we need to take a stronger understanding that there is supreme value to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and spreading the gospel throughout the world is
the... It is the supreme value.
The supreme value. I thought I said that.
I know, but no, it is the... In other words, it surpasses everything in the world.
Exactly, and it's the most important business of the world. It's the business of humankind, of mankind. And all these other things are great, and they are good thing, causes. And I love all that Charlie Kirk stood for. And his basis, though, bedrock of his faith was in the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, which transformed his life at an early age. And it changed him, and his life affected others. When we're changed by the gospel, it should affect our community.
Well,
it should affect our family.
Yeah.
Should affect the world.
You said something. Why was he so successful in that? Because he believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He was believing what Peter was saying. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yet he was a very big fundraiser. And I don't have a problem with that. Turning Points, I think, of the name of his organization. And that's such a blessing. I mean, I have never criticized, and I would never criticize that.
I listened to part of the memorial of after church when we got back, and it was so, everything I listened to was beautiful. I loved all of it. But one of the first ones that I looked at was, I think it was a clip of one of his first fundraisers. And she was a woman. She was telling the story. She says, I think her husband may have just passed. I don't remember her name. I'm sorry. But it was a beautiful testimony. How she says, I thought, you know, Charlie was supposed to be at my husband's a memorial service, and here I am at his. So apparently she was a widow.
This
a
woman
new widow.
Wasn't Erica, his wife.
No. She was one of her, one that he met at an early age before he was ever even married. And I think he had shared his vision. And she said, well, you need to come. I hope I get the story right. She says, well, come to the house, talk to my husband. So he came over and he shared his vision, which was to start, at that point, he had already started his organization. I don't know what age he was. He was still a very young man. And so he said, I want to start two Turning Points in Florida.
Right.
And so he was expanding his organization. And he says, and they said, well, how much would that cost? He said $50,000. Then they told him, well, you raise half and then we'll put in the other half. And so they didn't think, they thought it would be a while. He came back 2 days later, says, I got the $25,000. So she says, well, I guess we owe you a check. And he says, he came back time and time again till it was like millions, apparently, that he had raised half and they went ahead and did the other half.
Yeah.
So this was a strong donor, someone that really strongly believed in what they did, and they did a great work. And I thought that was admirable. But here they are talking about that and how powerful it was. And it was a good thing. And so, but I just thought about it, how opposite the church is, how they don't want to talk about it, how they hide it.
Yeah.
And I realized that that's just a tactic of the devil to shut the church down.
Yeah.
Because the church has a great function in the world. Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And but in order to do that, all of us need to come together as believers right. and realize that this is the most important, like we said, the supreme message for the whole world.
Erica, his wife, proved it when she looked straight into that camera when she was talking about the man that killed her husband, assassinated, and said, I forgive you. Now, where did she learn that? The church. Now, let's talk about the President of the United States. He said he got a hard time loving his enemy. Don't get mad at him. He's not there yet, but he's going to get there. See, the more you're in church, the more you receive Christ, that level begins to rise up. You see what I'm saying? And after a while, you can look at, don't interrupt me when I'm saying this. When you understand, when that level rises up, you'll pray for your enemies, you'll bless those that curse you, you'll reach out. See, because what's happening is that Christ in you begins to come out of you. And that's why she could say what she said. Now, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Well, you finished what I was going to say.
That's what I thought.
I agree with that.
So, well, you see what I'm saying? She had to learn that from the church. But if you don't go, you know, and I'm talking about being faithful. And, you know, I love online, because we're online right now. That's not the issue. But it's not a substitute for going to church. Mm. Now, thank God we have it, because the Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's a part of doing that.
Right.
If you ever notice something about something, watch this. It just struck me. I hadn't thought about that. Usually when someone gets born, they come to the church. If you're Catholic, they christen the baby, right? Yeah. Or they come to the church and pray over the baby, do whatever. And if you ever notice when someone dies, the last thing they do is come to the church. Mm-hmm. A memorial service. Sometimes the body's there, sometimes it's not. But it's not. It's still making the last thing that person does.
That's right.
Exiting out, you know, into heaven, is go to church. See how important that is?
And I believe, you know, Charlie was so well known, the church couldn't handle it, so they went to the biggest arena they could have in that area.
That church
service. The gospel was preached. I don't know how long that thing was. I never found out but the gospel was proclaimed throughout the whole thing. God was glorified, because that was the bedrock message of the church.
I go back to it. It's not the building. It's the people. The church came forward. See? And honor Mr. Kirk, or somebody may have passed in your family. It's the church family coming together. That's the church. That's what Jesus said. He didn't build it on a piece of wood, but God said, build my tabernacle, build my temple. That's true. But it would have been nothing if God wouldn't have dwelled in it. Hmm. What made the temple was the holies of holies, where God dwelled in that Ark of the Covenant. See,
that's
the dwelling. See, that's what makes it.
But it is still important that us physically come together.
Yes, that's correct.
At times, and I've heard it said, and I totally believe it's true, that one day, in fact, it happened this past weekend, one day all of these big arenas that were built for sports are going to be used for the spreading of the gospel.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I believe that.
Oh, yeah. And I like sports. We're not trying to get rid of sports. We need all the pleasure, I guess, we can have in terms of going with your family. I remember years and years ago. Well, I'll just say this. This is not a criticism. I went to the first Saints game in 1967 when New Orleans Saints, because we're from New Orleans, and my ticket cost $6. You can't buy a hot dog for $6. That is totally changed. I remember when father would bring their kids to the baseball game, I saw Roger Maris and Mickey Mantle going for to beat Babe Ruth's record. I was a young boy. Oh, it was something. It brought pleasure. It's nice. Of course, now, you know, they pay those people hundreds of millions. I'm not saying they're not worth it. That's fine. That's not the issue. But you have to go to a place, you know, to play that game. Well, you need to play the game of life. You got to go to a place, and it's called the church, and a Bible-believing one. And when you give, make sure your church is Bible-believing, not saying, well, we're going to cut this out the Bible, and we're going, no. You don't cut nothing out. God, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I know the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. I mean, don't try to come at me doctrinally wise or theologically wise, because you're going to lose. This is what I do. But I'm saying, I understand that. But when you understand that we're the body and bride of Christ, and we come together, we refresh each other. Hmm. And God said, I will build my church. So you know what? This Sunday coming, we're going to build it again. The next Sunday, we're going to build it again. Keep building it until Jesus comes, and then we ever be with him forever. And it's just such a blessing of the Lord. Let me say this again. The church is a revelation from God and a revelation of God. Mm-hmm. I want to thank all of you for listening to us today, because we felt I had to say that. And minister, I want to thank all my partners, because every time I get behind this desk, this is like a church service, for helping us and support this ministry financially. Now, don't get mad at me. You know, I'm raising awareness of how powerful the church is, and it takes finance to do that. I wish it wouldn't. I wish everything was free. I wish all my television was free. I wish these cameras were free. I wish the lights that we're running right now to keep the, so you can see us, these lights go out, you can't see it, was free, but it's not. So I'm going to ask you to give today and be a blessing to God's church. If you, and God's church and JDM is a Bible-believing, it's founded on the church, Covenant Church, and the ministry is a worldwide part of it. If you'd like to give, you can go to jdm.org and hit a donate button. I hope you do. You can use PayPal if you want, or you can text to give a one-time donation or a recurring one, or you can go to the free JDM app and select the giving you like that way. Or you can mail in your donation through the post office, whatever you want to do, and God will bless you and honor you. I hope you do that, because me and Kathy and this ministry is reaching people, changing lives, one soul at a time. We Bible-believing people. We live, eat, and breathe. And I have to say this, then we're going to close. No secret sin here. No secret sin here. And if they, because we expel that when we got born again,
right.
and we keep our hand against it, and that it doesn't come back to us, because we don't mess with that kind of stuff. So I want you to understand that. And many people wrote some wonderful, you know, what do you call them, testimonies and things, but we're going to deal with that on our next boardroom chat.
You don't
want to. No, I don't want to deal with it. This is very important that you find you a Bible-believing church and give to it. And if you support other ministries, and I hope you do, make sure they're Bible-believing. Because I want to tell you something. That's how you get 30, 60, and 100-fold. That's in the Bible, too. But if you give in a bad soil, nothing grows from it. This ministry is good soil. Covenant Church is good soil. So thank you for listening to us today. And remember this, that, you know, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. I don't care what the devil does. Everything in you is greater than him. Till next week, God bless you. See you later. Bye-bye.